I'd like to read with you first of all in the Gospel according to Luke. The Gospel according to Luke, chapter 5. Chapter 5 and verse 1, you'll notice, says, "And it came to pass." Verse 12 says, "And it came to pass." That's typical of Luke the physician. He emphasizes facts. It came to pass when Jesus the Lord was in a certain city. He has a certain city in mind. "Behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus, fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And he put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him." Now the same gospel according to Luke chapter 23, the 23rd chapter of the gospel according to Luke, verse 32. "And there were also two other malefactors led with him with Jesus to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, He saved others, let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, If thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. And a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew, This is the King of the Jews. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, and seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And it was about the sixth hour, and there was a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. Now when the centurion saw what was done, he glorified God, saying, Certainly this was a righteous man. And all the people that came together to that sight, beholding the things which were done, smote their breasts and returned. And all his acquaintance and the women that followed him from Galilee stood afar off, beholding these things. Now the close of the Gospel according to John, the 21st chapter, Jesus in resurrection, a has appeared to some of his disciples that were fishing with Peter. And verse 14 says, John 21 and verse 14, this is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, he had just invited them to dine. He had prepared a fire and food on the shore. So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? Taking up Peter's own word, fondly lovest thou me. We miss that in our King James. And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I fondly love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Now, there's just a verse or two in the Epistle of the Corinthians. At the end of the Epistle, First Corinthians chapter 16, Paul has been writing to this church at Corinth, and he's closing the epistle, verse 21, 1 Corinthians 16 and 21. The salutation of me, Paul, with mine own hand. If any man love not, and that's the same word that Peter used for the Lord at the last, and the Lord took it up and used it for Peter. If any man fondly love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, set apart for judgment, accursed of God. Let him be anathema. Maranatha, our Lord cometh. Maranatha. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. My love be with you all in Christ Jesus. Amen. God bless his word to all our hearts. If a Christian can't get something out of a gospel meeting, there's something wrong with the preachers, or with the Christians, or with both. There's no fault with the Word of God. They have happy confidence in the Word of God. The Word of God has been such a blessing to us since that day in 1937, when as a young fellow, almost 18, not quite 18, I was still in my 17th year, God made the Word of God precious to me and the Lord Jesus precious to me. And many a time since, it's been the rejoicing of my heart. I'm happy in the Lord tonight, I want to tell you that. I am indeed. I believe like Brother Pierce said this afternoon, we don't believe in long-faced Christianity. I tell the dear folks that if you find my face long, I was born that way. I know some people that's about as broad as it is long, but I wasn't born that way. I tell the folk I had my 6'3½" when I signed my license. And in my 16th year, when I got my license 16 years old, and I still have my 6'3½". You know, the doctors aren't always right. No, no. They were telling me the other day, usually when you get about your age, you're getting the decrease, and you'll lose an inch and 2 inches in your height. Well, I'm a little dogmatic about some things, you know. I know I'm a little round-shouldered, but I said, well, I said to myself, I didn't contradict them. I said, said, I'm going to go home and measure up. So I got my wife to help me, and I'm still 6 and a half. So the doctors aren't always right. But in this case, we just read about it. You wouldn't need a doctor. Did you notice something about these passages of Scripture? Surely I don't have to tell you. They can easily be linked up in your mind so you won't forget them tonight when you go home and throughout the week, you know. Not at all, friends. Extreme cases, in every case. A man full of leprosy. You're not entering into that, I know. Anybody that's seen it, well, I mean, seen a little of leprosy, not necessarily full of leprosy, but seen a little leprosy, you'll enter into that a bit. If Brother Doherty was here, he'd be nodding his head a little. He has told me a little of those cases in Cuba where he saw leprosy. Bad business. A man full of leprosy. A man in his dying hour on a cross. That's an extreme case, friend. A man that does not deny the Lord, Peter, in John's Gospel. And the Lord's dealing with him. And this is the final touch of the Lord Jesus to restore Peter. It's not many days before Peter's going to stand up and preach the Gospel. And God's going to bless his Gospel. But God has to put another touch on Peter. And he does it by the Lord. Third time. What about, you love me? You, Peter, he says, he takes up Peter's word. You fondly love me, Peter? You know, sometimes people take up our words. And they answer us with our own words. That's what the Lord Jesus did there. He was really getting at him. Oh, he was. About what? About his love. My mind goes to 1 Corinthians, the closing words there. And the Spirit of God takes up the same word with the pen of the Apostle Paul, and he's writing. And he's writing to a church that he has planted. To people who have believed the gospel through the preaching of the Apostle Paul. And he's carrying them on his heart. He's concerned about them, their condition. And he writes these closing words. If any man, and that word is, if any among you, if any, fondly love not our Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, set apart for judgment. And then, just like that, he says, Maranatha, our Lord cometh. I wonder what those dear folk that heard those words read in the assembly there. Wouldn't be all believers sitting in that meeting, you know. We expect that everybody in the fellowship of the assembly is a believer. We expect that. But everybody in a meeting of the assembly isn't a believer. Not usually, but there are children as there are here tonight and as they would be this morning, sitting around. There are folk connected with the families of the Lord's people. There are neighbors and friends that are invited to come to the meetings of the assembly. And I expect that Corinth it was as our place. At your place, here. They'd hear those words. I wonder what they'd think, friend. I wonder what you think when you read them or you heard them read. An extreme case. Let him be set apart for judgment. Accursed of God. Nothing more terrible than that. By the way, if you know something more terrible, you tell me at the door when I shake hands with you tonight. I've pondered those words many, many times. I don't think there's anything more dreadful than that. Our Lord cometh! Blessed be His name. Our Lord cometh. We were reminded in the hymns of certain things that were said at the close of the afternoon meeting. Our Lord cometh. So He's coming for us. Nothing surer than the Lord is coming. He's coming soon. I want you to think about this man. He's an outcast. You know one of the things I learned from my Bible? Leprosy is a mark of divine displeasure. That's not hard to remember. You memorize those words. Leprosy. The Bible teaches leprosy is a mark of divine displeasure. God taught Moses lessons from leprosy. I think of his dear sister Miriam. She's in the glory many centuries now. And you know, God smote her with leprosy. You know why He did it? You know why she bore that mark of divine displeasure for a whole week? Because she sinned with her lips. She just sinned with her lips. Did you get that? She didn't commit murder. She wasn't slandering her neighbor for week on end. Once she sinned with her lips. She didn't go around thieving like some of the people in this district. I tell the folk I lock my car. Anywhere I go, I lock my car. Except perhaps at home. If there's quite a few Christian neighbors around our district and it's a dead end street. I tell them we're not in the millennium. Some people believe we're in the millennium. That's one of the devil's lies. A man full of leprosy. Miriam sinned once with her lips, was smitten for a whole week. Moses was prostrate before his God because Miriam was smitten with leprosy and the camp was held up for a whole week. 1.5 million people held up for a whole week. The camp couldn't move. God's people couldn't move through the desert. Why? Because she sinned with her lips. Why I'm talking about that, friend, is a lot of people say, God will never send me to hell for the little bit of sin that I've done. Or they say, I think Brother Piercy tells us a story about the lady. She hadn't sinned. She hadn't sinned. You ever meet people like that? I'm not a sinner. I'm not a bank robber. I'm not a prostitute. I'm not wrecking the lives of my loved ones and my own life by taking drugs continually. That's what they mean, you know. People can trust me, they say. My character, my reputation has no reproach. The people trust me. I'm not a sinner. They've never seen themselves in the presence of God. Listen, friend. Here's a man, and he deserves to be outside. And he's in the city. Did you get that? Maybe you didn't notice in the little story. The leper, according to God's word, is to be outside. Outside all social contact completely. Where is he? In the city. Why is he in the city? He heard that Jesus is there. That made all the difference. You know what it means to be a leper, according to the word of God? I'm not talking about modernism now. The leper, God says, shall dwell without the camp. God says, put him out from his wife, his loved ones, his children, his home, all he holds dear. He should go out and stay out. And he used to put a covering on his upper lip. And he used to cry when anyone is near. He used to cry continually, unclean! Unclean! I want to ask you, you know what I'm talking about? I want you to understand, that man's abandoned. That man's in a hopeless state. That man, God says him, unclean, and he's under my divine displeasure. You know what that means? God's wrath. See, what's that got to do with me? Well, leprosy is a picture of sin. And the leper is a picture of the sinner of you and me. And God's teaching his people in the Old Testament and also in the New Testament. And he's teaching his creatures, people that aren't his people. People that do not know their God. He's teaching them in a figure. They have to be shut out. Shut out! And not simply shut out, but shut out completely! Did anything like that ever get a grip of you? I didn't know the story of the leper, you know, when I was in my teens. We'd go on the dances, and the square dances in the home, and going through my religious duties that I was enjoying. I wasn't doing them as a, well, you gotta do this, and you gotta do that. I was doing these religious duties because I enjoyed them. Really enjoyed them. I was thriving on them. And the company I kept, I really enjoyed my company. But I found out I was just a poor religious sinner. And I was under divine wrath. One day I was reading in my Bible at home in the morning, and I read the latter half, the second half of Luke 16. Did you ever read it? It's written by a doctor, a physician Luke, a man with sympathy, a man with compassion, a man with eyes that look through eyes like the Lord Jesus looked through. He saw the people in their need. If a doctor is a sympathizing, compassionate doctor, he will look that way and he'll see people, boys and girls and men and women, in their need. When he looked, he wrote, came to pass. It really happened. God looked down. Some of the Lord's people were looking at me from time to time when I went to the meetings. Just a few meetings. I was only in about 5 gospel meetings. Sunday nights from time to time. Not regularly, one after the other, but from time to time when I could get away. Listen, friend. I found out that I was a sinner. And that I was going down to hell. And one night I stood up in Long Branch United Church on the lake shore. I didn't go there usually. I think it was the first time and the last time I was ever there. I used to attend other places. Nemecote, Etobicoke. But this night our president was taking us down there to take the service. And I did everything I could, everything I possibly could, to get out of taking part in that. And they put the most important part on me, which was to read the scripture. Even in my unsaved days, I thought that was a thing very, very important. That this is the word of God. I said to Ernie, no, I've got nothing to read tonight, Ernie. You'll have to do it. This man will have to do it. No, they put it back on me. And in order to get out of it, listen, it's rather peculiar. In order to get out of it, I thought I'd get out of it. I said, Ernie, the only thing I can read tonight is Luke 16. I don't know if you know what's in it, Ernie. It's about a rich man that died and went to hell. I didn't tell him about the poor man. Ernie said, He said, "Bert, I don't care what you read." He wasn't any speaker at all, you know, he's an organist. But he said, "It's up to you to take the devotional part of the reading of scripture. It's all about him, so I'll pray." Imagine, I'm saying, "Man, I'll pray." He said, "I'm quite content to pray, give up to him, get the pianist to start to him." Sam says, I'll take the, what do they call it, the playtime, you know, at the end. Game, right? Yeah. But it's putting on me. And in the goodness of God, I read that in public. And I said, I found out this morning, there's no difference between the rich man and me. He hasn't any issues anymore. He's out of his body and head. That's a fearful thing. And I'm in my body going down to hell. The only difference is he's out of his body. Still alive, you know. Listen, his eyes are in hell. He lifts up his eyes, seeing in torment. He could see. He could feel. I am tormented in this flame. The Lord Jesus narrates the story himself. Friend, I don't know what you think about this book, but from my infancy, I always believed that this is the Word of God. You could count. God used that to awaken me. I was like a leper on the street under divine displeasure. He heard that Jesus was in the city. And he came, and here's another connecting link between all these four scriptures. He said, Lord, the thief on the cross said, "Lord." Dear Peter, he was true blue. He said, "Lord, thou knowest, Lord." Apostle Paul knew the Lord, you know. He said, "If any man love not our Lord Jesus Christ, he's our Lord Jesus Christ, is he your Lord Jesus?" That man prostrated himself on the ground in the presence of the Lord Jesus, and he said, "Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. I long to be clean. Oh, poor sinner in the hall of the night, do you long to be cleansed of your sin? What about your sin? What about your vile thoughts? What about your unclean words? What about your jealous thoughts? What about your words of jealousy? What about your hatefulness? Don't tell me you haven't been hateful. What about the times you've displeased your parents?" Well, you say, "Well, they're not too good anyway." Listen, friend. Likely sometimes at least they've been good to you. I wonder how much you've appreciated. I look back, and I've looked back many a day to my father. And if he got saved, and I hope he did, I'm inclined to think he did, at the end of his life, we had him in our home for 3 months. Came for a few days. Stayed 3 months. Bert wasn't too bad after all. He always liked my wife, you know. He used to get mad and stir his tea as hard as he could go when I bowed my head. When I was first saved, and I bowed my head at my father's table and gave thanks for my meat. Not out loud, oh no. I just bowed my head and gave thanks to God for my meat. Right from the start, nobody told me to do that. The brethren didn't say you've got to do this or you've got to do that. I thank God for my food. And I'll never forget my father ramming that spoon around that cup as hard as he could go. He didn't have to say anything. He was mad about it. Why? Because what I was doing was condemning him. He wasn't acknowledging his God. Thank God, God spoke to him before he died. I'm inclined to believe he's in the glory. He found out God loved him. Did you ever find out that God loves you? You want to find that out, friend. That God loves you. Son, did you ever find out that God loves you personally? Dear mother, I'm quite sure he's in the glory. Put some of you Christians to shame.
I could go on and tell you a little about that, but I'm not going to do that. I'm here to preach the gospel. Well, mind you, the gospel produces reality. Listen, friends. God has no respect, and we have no respect for hypocrites. Hypocrites go down to hell to their own place like Judas Iscariot. There's a man, he's no hypocrite. He's full of lust. You know, when I think about this, you'll pardon my reference, but I remember this gentleman was going to preach after me, saying, the first time I heard him say it in person, he said, I said to God, I'm a sinner. Every instrument. He was full of leprosy. A total sinner. An extreme case, friend. No good in him at all. What could he do? He should be outside the camp, outside the city. But he hears that the feet of Jesus. Lord, if thou wilt. Did you ever question the willingness of the Lord? Did you ever question the love of God? I've met people and they question God's love. See, God doesn't care about me. I said to them, listen, God, He really is concerned about you personally. And I have proof positive. He gave His Son, Jesus, His only Son, to die for your sins on the cross. I didn't tell anybody that. Thing. My Bible authorizes me that He sent His Son to be the Savior of the world. Nobody's excluded. The worst, friend. Those who are in hell tonight, God sent His Son that they might not go there. That includes you. Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. How long did it take, friend, when he said, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. You really believe that Christ can cleanse you from your sin? Do you believe He can give you a happy assurance of being with Himself forever? And never going to hell? Never, never, never? And He can. This man goes out of the presence of the Lord. Then, he heard His voice and he felt His touch at the same time. There's power in the word of the King. And Jesus the Lord identified Himself with a cleansed man. Oh yeah. And He's going to identify Himself with that cleansed man forever. He's a man that confessed Jesus as his Lord. You know that's missing in your life tonight? Oh yeah, that's missing. Yes. Man, that thought goes on. Yeah. There's a thief on the cross, and he went to paradise today. He put in his feet, Lord, remember me. Lord, remember me. Today thou shalt be with me in paradise. But the thief that was on the cross on the other side. For 1900 years, he's been under the wrath of God. Where are you going to be for eternity, friend? The man in the glory, named Simon Peter, I'll be glad to see him. Thou knowest all things, he said, Lord. Lord, thou knowest all things. He knows your thoughts and He knows your needs and He knows your sins. He has power to cleanse you. And if you don't love our Lord Jesus Christ, listen, friend. This word, anathema, it means you're set apart for the judgment of God. Our blessed Lord Jesus comes. Perhaps before the meeting, folks.